It's time for the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters, live from the Home Comfort broadcast booth at the Polk County Fair. Now, here's Jake.
Welcome, everybody. Don't adjust your dial. I'm an hour earlier in a different location, which is Rick Reel at the Polk County Fair. And we're going to be here till 1 o'clock. And it's a beautiful day, and we're going to talk a little bit more about it. First, I want to just thank the sponsor that we have right now, and that is Tim English, English Realty. Tim is at 154 Southwest Oak Street in Dallas, not far from here at all.
That's right.
That's right, and Tim's with me right now. And Tim, if people want to call you, they can dial you up at 503-998-3234, but after this interview, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And Tim, we want to thank you for being a friend of the program throughout my Rural Matter career here.
Absolutely.
And also, too, we want to thank Home Comfort Heating and Air Conditioning. They're also making this possible for us. Back to the fair. Tim, you were here last night.
Yeah.
And the fair goes through, I believe, tomorrow night.
Correct.
Around 10 o'clock, I assume.
Yep, yep.
And so come on over, you guys, and support this fair, because it's, you know, it's about young people, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's so important, Tim, that we support the FFAers, the 4-H'ers.
Mm-hmm.
And later in the program, I just managed to corral the Oregon State Dairy Princess Grace Faber is going to come on out at the top of the next hour. And the weather is fantastic. And also, you know, this is kind of a, I think, a God thing. The air is pretty clear.
Yeah,
because
right.
Because we've been,
oh my goodness,
we've been hammered. We've been hammered by the fires and all of that stuff. And so, you know, it feels like it's really kicking in. Tim, you were here last night. Talk about the rodeo a little bit.
Oh my goodness.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So that's, you know, it's one of the big highlights of the fair each year, and last night was no exception. The crowd was, we showed up early. I mean, we showed up, I brought my kids, and we got there probably about 5:30, even though it didn't start till 7, and most of the bleachers were already packed. And so it was a great night. It was super, super fun, super exciting, kind of, it cooled down enough to really make it enjoyable. And, you know, the cowboys and cowgirls did not disappoint. They did a great job, and it was a lot of fun.
What did you see that really stands out in your mind right now, Tim?
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about what events you saw.
Oh, sure. Yeah, well, of course, there was the bronc riding, as well as barrel racing, and the kids mutton busting, and then finally bull riding at the end. Bull riding, of course, is always kind of, you know, crazy, scary just to even watch. Yeah, that was pretty phenomenal. But the bronco riding was pretty amazing too. You know, sometimes it can get overshadowed by the bull riding, but man, those horses were really jumping. There was some really good performances by the horses as well as the cowboys, and there was some really good riding going on. So yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I think that's great. I love the down to earth that a fair brings,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of these young people and so forth are very active in agriculture, and animals are a big part of it. And so, Tim, you and I were visiting earlier, and let's talk about the state of the fair.
Yeah.
And you wanted to talk about some of the things going on, and I want you to go ahead and explain what's going on from your point of view as you're comfortable.
Yeah.
And kind of go from there.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, what we're seeing, you know, all across city, county, state government, is just budget shortfalls, right? Because we had so much inflation coming out of COVID through the Biden administration, and you know, federal government can print money.
Yeah, they
nobody else gets to do that. So here in the county, like, they've had to just stretch each and every year to try and make the money go farther and farther, and make cuts and do what they can to keep services going and all the different areas that the county provides. And obviously a fair is always one of those things where, because it's one time a year and it you know, doesn't pay for itself, that sometimes it can go neglected. And our fairgrounds, even though they've done some improvements over the years, have really got a lot of deferred maintenance, electrical and otherwise. And that our county commissioner has just basically said, we've stretched as far as we can stretch. We're going to have to start cutting. And the fair is on the cutting board if we don't raise money, find a way to raise money for the fair this coming year.
All right. So let's pause for a minute, because you've got an event that we're going to talk about. The fair itself is for this weekend.
Yeah.
And it's done tomorrow night at roughly 10 o'clock. And so everybody get here and support it that way.
Yeah, sure.
But also, too, the fair itself, this area is also emergency ground as well, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like back during the Santiam Canyon fire, this was the place people went, right? So the fairgrounds housed not only families, but also lots of livestock. It was also where emergency supplies, blankets, generators, food, all kinds of stuff came here to the fair. So it's our rallying point for emergencies as well, and just a vital part of the county. So what they've done is they've proposed a levy. It's a very small levy, and basically, Jake, it works out like this: the average homeowner, let's say their house is probably worth $450,000, and you know that their property taxes are not based on that market value. It's based on their maximum assessed value that can only go up 3% a year. So the average person is only getting assessed on about $275,000.
Okay.
So if that's approximately how much you're getting assessed for on your property taxes, this levy, if you were to vote yes and keeping the fair going, would only cost you a whopping $36 for the entire year.
Okay. People look at levies, and I'm gonna play a little tiny bit devil's advocate, Tim.
Absolutely.
Because we all have seen a lot of bad things.
Yes, misuse.
Yeah, I'm gonna use the word fraud.
Yeah,
and it's been proven out since we've put the new administration in on a national level.
Right.
So we look at that number, and some in will say, "Hey, that's like a big pizza and that kind of deal. Wow, that doesn't seem like a big deal." But the question people have, especially in lieu of, I think we have to be smart about our money. Where is this levy money going to be earmarked for specifically? At what categories is this going to be working for, Tim?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the major majority of it is going to go to the deferred maintenance that has been way long overdue. We've got electrical panels and wiring from the 1970s that is way out of date, and some things that are even a little hazardous can't even be repaired. They need to be replaced. So there's just a lot of different maintenance things that need to go on here at the fair, as well as just strengthening the budget line item to be able to help this fair continue to operate from year to year. So that's where the money's going. I know there's Friends of the Fair is an organization that's seeking to help raise money and raise awareness about the levy that's coming up this November. They're going to have a meeting at Roth's IGA in West Salem on August the 20th.
Okay.
I don't know the time exactly, but you'll be able to see that on the county website. They'll get the word out. But August 20th, Ross IG in West Salem, if you're interested in learning more and how you can help save the fair. I, for one, I'm gonna go door knocking this fall. Like I just can't see us not having a county fair. That would just be a real shame.
Well, yeah, we'll get I'm gonna hold you over for the next segment, and then I want you to do that announcement again. But you know, I see your two kids here, and they're somewhere now.
Yeah.
Because you're sitting with me. But, you know, that's kind of what does the fair mean to you to take your family to the rodeo? Yeah. Have you ever had any of your family show?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, talk about them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we live just about 2 miles from the fair, and I started out showing hogs in 4-H back, you know, when I was 12 or 13 years old, showed for several years. And then here more recently, I've had, let's see, three of my kids show hogs, and then I had one of my kids show chickens. And we've been involved in 4-H, over a long period of time. And,
great organization.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. You know, Tim, we can start seeing the place fill up. And I'm looking around. I'm turning around over my shoulder. And I'm seeing black and white. Looks Holstein-like to me. That's my old stomping grounds,
yep.
Which is kind of cool. But the food vendors are out, and you are here. And, yeah, we want to keep this going. You were with me last month when we were just after the 4th of July at Marion County Fair.
Yeah.
If the bond passes, we've got about a minute. What would you like to see happen here? What would, outside of the maintenance and stuff, what are some dreams you would like to see in the fair?
Yeah, well, I'd love to see it expand. I mean, out at that arena, the bleachers are way too small. Like they need to be like twice that big, maybe three times that big. We just don't have the ability to really, we don't have any real space for a large gathering. And we really don't have that in the entire county.
Right.
Like even, the high school holds their graduations outside in the football stadium because we don't have an auditorium large enough in the county. If you try to have any kind of big gathering, some of the churches might hold 300, 400, 500 people, but that's about it. So if you're going to have a large gathering, I would think you would want to have an event or something like that here at the county fair. And it would be really nice if we had the facilities to be able to do that.
And that would be, it wouldn't be covered. It'd be outdoor events is what we're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, either or, but yeah, probably outdoor or at least just have a covering over the bleachers or that type of thing. But I think that needs to be greatly expanded.
Tim English, English Realty, friend of the program. You're listening to Jake Rural Matters here at the Polk County Fair. We're going to talk some more about the fair with Tim and some real estate stuff as we get to the next segment. Jake Rural Matters, back at you.
Back to the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters live from the Home Comfort broadcast booth at the Polk County Fair. Also brought to you by Auto Team Service Center and Tim English, English Realty, Keller Williams, Capital City. Now back to Jake.
That one more up. Got it.
Jake, you're on.
Yep, we're on. And that's what happens when you're on live radio and you're trying to navigate everything. And you know what? I'm not bad at this. I feel like I'm okay at this. I haven't been fired yet, and I'm at this for almost 4 years. This is our third visit to the Polk County Fair, and it's just great to do that with me, Tim English, English Realty, 154 Oak Street,
yeah,
Dallas, Oregon.
Downtown Dallas.
Yeah, and Tim, we're going to continue our conversation. A lot of people don't realize it, but there's another event here next week at the fair.
Yeah.
And it's not just 3 or 4 days a week plus a couple of other things. And so we need this facility needs to get used, right?
Yeah. Well, and it does. I mean, there's shows here all the time, almost every weekend. You'll see RV parking here as well. But even as much as it gets used and they do charge for, renting and using the facilities, it's still one of those things where it just doesn't pay for itself. You still need county funds to help subsidize that and make it solvent. So that's really one of the big reasons for the levy. Like I said, that just the money's been stretched as far as it can stretch in the county, and they've got to unfortunately look at different things to cut. And At least for me, I just feel like it's just not acceptable to cut the county fair. And so, you know, I'm Republican. I don't like new taxes, but when it comes to a Polk County fair levy, that's going to cost me basically $36 for a year, you know, for 5 years or however long the levy is good for, you know, I think that's something I can support.
All right, Tim, you know, as everybody knows that, when I get you on the program, we got a few minutes. The latest and greatest in the real estate world?
Yeah.
Here in the Valley and maybe a little bit beyond. What are you seeing?
Yeah. Well, I'm seeing inventory continuing to stack up. So we're just in a period where there's more sellers than buyers. We've got some stubborn economic forces that are keeping interest rates where they are at around 6.5%. Lately, a little bit higher, 6.6, 6.7. And that's just got people kind of on edge. You know, the reality is though, it's not really going to do any good to wait, because rates just aren't going to come down all that much. I mean, maybe they might come down 0.5% by the end of the year. So rates are staying where they're at in that realm of 6.5, and there's plenty of inventory out there, but we've just got a lot of uneasiness in the economy and with the trying to wrap up this conflict with Iran that just seems to go on and on. And that's just got people uneasy. And so whenever people are uneasy, they tend to put off big decisions.
Sure, they do.
That's just kind of where we're at right now.
Well, you know, people are human and they want to, many people are prayerfully, they want to do what they feel like is best. A lot of inventory. Is that a national thing, Tim, or is that Florida, Oregon? Or
yeah, no, that's a national thing. I mean, there's a few hot spots where things are moving, but for the most part, all across the nation, inventory stacking back up, which is actually a good thing. We're up around 4 months worth of housing inventory, meaning that at the current rate of sales, if we didn't have any new listings, that we would run out of homes to sell after 4 months. So that's a lot better than where we've been the past 5 years, where we've been, you know, 1, 2, 3 months of inventory, where it's a really, really strong seller's market and buyers don't have a whole lot of leverage. Once we cross that 3 month number, when we're in between 3 to 6 months, we're really in what we call a balanced market. And so there's some give and take, where, you know, sellers are going to need to do some repairs. They might need to pay for closing costs, some things like that. Buyers, you know, might be able to get their house for a little bit under asking price and probably won't have to compete. So there's a lot of good things about the market. And, you know, the thing I like to remind people about is the old saying of Warren Buffett, of he liked to look at what the crowd was doing.
Right. Right.
And then do the opposite. Right. So right now everybody's waiting. They're probably, you know, they're like, man, if interest rates would just come down below 6, then I might do something. Well, if everybody's thinking that, and let's just say it happens this next spring, well, then inventory is going to get gobbled up. There'll be tons of people in the market. You'll probably have to compete against other people. You're not going to get your closing costs paid for. You're probably not going to get repairs paid for, and you're going to pay more for the house.
Right.
So, you know, why wait?
Why wait?
Yeah.
You know, you got to make a move some way, somehow. Yeah. And, you know, Tim, too, for one of the thing that you do, one of the many things you do as an agent, whether you're representing the buyer or the seller, is you try and put out a strategy and try and have people be as objective as possible, right? Talk about that for a second.
Yeah. So I want to take a professional approach with folks and really have a true consultation with them, help them see that I'm not just here to, you know, be a salesman and convince them to buy a house, right? Like, that's just not a good customer service. I like to operate more like your CPA or your financial planner, where you know, I'm going to ask you some questions, get to know you, get to know your goals and what you're trying to accomplish. And then to get, and then I can share with you the market data and what's going on in the market so that you can know the best, you know, we can put together a strategy for, you know, how to sell your home or when and how to buy a home and get you into that next, home. So that you can build equity for your family.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. It is one of the big decisions that people make, sometimes a couple more times than just one, because you move and stuff like that. Tim, what is up? You know, what's your favorite thing about being an agent? Because you've been at this a while now, right?
Yeah. Well, I just love helping people. So whether it's on the buy side or the seller side, I mean, I just... just always feels great to know that you help somebody accomplish their goal and help them move on to the next chapter in their life. And, you know, some of those stories, people end up, you know, kind of sharing with you some personal information, and you begin to understand really the depth of the meaning of what this purchase or this sale is going to mean to them for their life.
Yeah.
And so then when that happens and you feel like you helped them accomplish that, it really is rewarding.
It is, Tim. You're really good at it. And we've got 10 seconds. How's the music doing? The world's got to know about your music.
Check me out on Spotify or wherever you listen to music at Tim English. And the new album is Revive Me.
We need it. Jake, Real Matters, here's the pair. Back after this.
The Blue Star Gas Rural Matters continues live from the Home Comfort broadcast booth at the Polk County Fair. Also brought to you by Copycats and Rick Riel Farm Supply. Once again, here's Jake.
All right. Thanks for that intro, Mr. Intro Guy, back at the studio. Jake, Rural Matters here at the Polk County Fair. Starting to fill up. People are coming. The weather is fabulous. Mentioned earlier with Tim English, it's so good to see blue sky. With the way that, you know, with the forest fires and everything. And August itself can be a bit hazy. We've got a lot of dust activities from tractors doing their thing with the grass seed. Also want to thank Home Comfort Heating and keep helping to sponsor us here as well. And with me, speaking of the fair, Tim Ray.
Good morning.
Yeah, it still is.
I checked. It's still morning.
Yeah, and... What a wonderful day right now. People are starting to come in, and last night was a rodeo. Were you there?
Absolutely. Well, I listened to the rodeo. By the time I'm able to get over there, all the seats are taken, but I kind of tipped my head over the top you can hear Wayne from anywhere on the fairgrounds, and it's always a good time. But it was a packed house last night and a great local rodeo.
Wonderful. And it really gives people a chance to see something. You don't see rodeos too often, and this is a good way to see it. And I think it's amazing to have that. All right, Tim, we're talking about the fair and talking about you and running this thing. And we talked earlier about the bond levy. We're going to touch on that in a little bit. But what does it take? What does it take to have a county fair? We're not talking state, but county.
Yeah.
What does it take?
It's a big undertaking. We hire a fairly sizable high school crew. Basically they're high school teenagers that come to work for us and start working the last part of June in prepping the fairgrounds for all the things that need to happen. And you know, from pulling weeds and helping to get the infrastructure ready, like the shade cloth that we pull across between the two buildings up in the floral area, so there's a nice shaded seating area for the main stage so people don't have to sit in the sweltering heat, to getting the show rings ready and the bleachers stationed all around the fairground so people can watch all the things that are happening, to just you name it. And then they stay on during fair as a grounds crew, you know, emptying all the trash cans and cleaning the bathrooms and just all of the things that it takes to I mean, I don't want to compare this to Disneyland, right? But when you think about a Disney, right? Disney places their trash cans so you're never more than like six steps away. And it's very similar here.
Strategic.
And then someone has to make sure they don't do any good if they're full and overflowing. And so, you know, they regularly are going around and checking that and keeping the grounds looking as absolutely spotless as we can with the thousands of people that are coming through here on a daily basis. And I kind of equate it to like this July. It kind of looks like, you know, people are just sitting there with their heads, but underneath they're like treading water, right? So on top, it looks nice and calm, but underneath everybody's working like heck to get this place put together. And then August comes and it's a frantic fury to move all of these food trucks in here and get all the final touches on, you know, the pen set up in all of the barns. That's a volunteer operation. And so all the young 4-H and FFA students come in on a weekend and set all those pens up. And then they come back right before fair and decorate them. And then they bring all their animals in. And so it really is about a month to 6 weeks endeavor to really get this place ready to go for the fair. And then Sunday we tear it all down because next weekend there's a big rock and mineral show here.
And I saw that. And so, you know, talking about numbers, roughly, Tim, you know, you've been at this a while. How many people from yesterday going through tomorrow night when it closes roughly 10 o'clock, right? Tomorrow night.
Yeah.
How many people do you think go through this fair? Or tickets sold?
Yeah, we track that, and generally after fair, we get a fairly accurate count. But we're in that, you know, 10,000 to 15,000 is our typical draw. And so for a 3.5 day fair, that's, you know, you're averaging 3,000-4,000 people a day. Obviously, Thursday's our biggest night with the rodeo. The stands were absolutely packed. And
yeah,
I came into the food court here where we're sitting right now and wanted to get something to eat real quick before the rodeo. And every food truck was 10 to 15 people deep.
That's great.
Which was phenomenal. So
that's good.
I actually waited to eat until the rodeo started. And then there was still three or four deep on every truck, but it wasn't the wait that it was at six. And then tonight we have the high school equestrian teams coming in and doing some barrel. So rodeo-esque, right? They'll be doing some barrel racing and some gaming and things like that. So a really fun watch. And then tomorrow we have lawn tractor pulls.
Wonderful. Tractor. Okay.
Yes. Which is going to be a lot of fun to go watch the people soup up their little lawn tractors and they hook them up to the sled and see how far they can pull it. So that'll be a fun draw too. And then obviously tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, the livestock auction happens where the youth auction off their projects that they've worked on, some of them up to 10 months now. And we'll raise north of $500,000 for those youth in about 4 hours. And so that's always a big draw for us as well.
I think that's that is very meaningful. So if you want to buy.
Yeah.
We want to, obviously, this is a chunk of this is about supporting our youth through the 4-H, FFA, and you're very familiar with all of those. Yep. Somebody wants to come in. How do they register to do that?
There'll be a registration desk right there at the auction. If you're a new buyer, they'll help you get signed up. It's a simple process. You just have to tell them your name. If you've got a business, your business name and address, and they'll give you a index card or piece of cardstock with a number on it. And it's pretty easy when the student that you want to support comes through, you raise your number and I guarantee Jake will recognize you and take your bid. So he's really good at that. And at the end, he'll tell you how much you spent on it. And then when you're all done, they have a checkout table and you can check out anytime. You don't have to wait for the whole auction and they'll settle up with you and you get to pick where you want that animal processed or if you're doing a live pickup or however you want to handle that particular transaction, they will help you through it. The student will bring you a little form that you check the boxes of what you want to happen with that animal. And then when you're done, you check out. And then sometime Saturday or Sunday, that animal will end up where you want it to be.
I think that's great. So if I'm buying, I also get a chance. Well, obviously, I'm going to buy the animal, but I get to meet the person that raised it.
They're going to bring you that slip. And then you're also going to get a thank you note from that individual. And a lot of times you'll get a thank you gift as well, but absolutely you get to meet them.
And, you know, I want to take this time because, and it starts, when's the sale start?
10 o'clock.
All right.
And we do a breakfast before that.
Yeah. I want to really encourage people that come out and bump the numbers up.
Yep.
These young people are learning real, practical, objective life lessons in the animal world.
Yep.
Because there are no guarantees, right, Tim?
Absolutely. I mean, it's always unfortunate, but there's a couple of animals that didn't make the rate of gain or didn't fall within the specified weight window that they have to meet. And those students had to take those animals back home. And then even through the judging process, we hire professional, you know, evaluators to come in if they say they don't meet industry standards, they get a white ribbon, they don't get to sell. And there's always a couple of those every year. It's unfortunate. And it's hard to meet industry standards on some of these particular livestock species. And so it's not a guarantee just because you made weight that you're going to get to sell. But it's a lot of hard work, and it's real life experiences. A farmer rancher does, just because you plant a crop doesn't mean someone's going to pay a price that lends you to a profit, right? And so we're really, this is one of the things that mirrors real life closer than anything, because it is real money involved and real life lessons involved, and, you know, hard work and perseverance and responsibility and all of those things that students are going to need when they get out into the workforce. And so we think it's one of the best preparations for life anywhere on the planet.
I couldn't concur with you more on that. I'm all for Little League. I'm all for the sports things that you can put yourself into that show tangible growth and development. And this is definitely one of them. Real quick, Tim, what's some of your favorite things about doing what you do and what you're seeing today?
Oh, I just seeing people here, right? I mean, it's great to be able to catch up with folks. And I sat on that bench right there in front of us last night and had dinner with two families that I've known for a long time. One of them, I had both of their sons when I was an ag teacher at Dallas. And
yep.
The other one, their son and daughter both showed cattle here, and in fact the son was with us last night as well, and his wife. And so it's just right, it's one of those times where no matter where you live in the county, you're probably going to run into those acquaintances.
Yeah.
And to be able to just have the time to sit down and eat a meal and catch up and you know, those types of things. And then I do truly love watching the youth. You'll find me at the show ring a lot, just watching them go through the rigors of showing an animal in the show ring. It's one of the most difficult things you'll ever do in your life, because whether it's a lamb that weighs 110 pounds or a steer calf that weighs 1400 pounds, it is truly a team effort. And to see the work that those students have put in to get that animal to respond to them is truly amazing.
Tim Ray, running the show here for the fair. Tim's going to be back in the next segment. We're going to talk about some stuff. Jake, Real Matters at the fair, Polk County, and we'll be right back.
Back to the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters, live from the Home Comfort broadcast booth at the Polk County Fair. Also brought to you by DC Electric and Elite Buyers Northwest. Now, back to Jake.
Thank you, Rue. What a glorious day to be here in outside of Rickleill, Polk County Fair. And I want to thank Home Comfort Heating and Air Conditioning as being one of the businesses that make this possible for KYKN to be here. And also we have Tim English over at English Realty over in Dallas, 154 Oak Street. And you can check him out as well. So appreciative of these and others that keep us on the air. It's a glorious day, Tim Ray.
Yep.
I mean, my gosh. And so grateful for clear skies today. And hopefully that we can get those fires under control. And, you know, while I'm thinking about it, I can plug my program for next Friday, because that's what we're going to be talking about with the Marion County fire people. We're going to talk about that and keeping your house safe. But that's for next Friday at the 12 o'clock time, because now I'm actually getting close to the regular time when I'm usually on, Tim. So I'm messing.
You're just getting warmed up now, right?
I am. And you know what? My job's working. So, Tim, you've had a lot of, you've worked at Chemeketa. You've been ag director at Dallas and so forth. Are you seeing, in your world where young people are, they're not turning their back on secondary ed, but they're looking at the trades. They're looking at the weldings and being in mechanically electrical. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I think there is a trend where we're seeing young adults really want to get into the workforce and find the thing that fills their bucket, both financially but also just personally, right? And I have two very personal examples I can give. I have two children, both of which are products of what we're talking about. My son graduated from SeaTech in Salem from the auto body program.
Wow. Okay.
Went directly into the automotive industry, is a mechanic, a tech at a Toyota dealership in the Portland metro area. Never set foot on a college campus, hasn't taken a college class, is an ASC nationally certified master mechanic at 24.
Wow.
And is doing exceptionally well in whatever metric you want to measure, right? And so super proud of him. My daughter, actually, today is her 21st birthday. So happy birthday, sis. But
yeah.
She is in the law enforcement program at Chemeketa. And
cool.
2-year program, has found what she wants to do. She wants to go into law enforcement. She will graduate next June and join a force and go to the academy and well on her way, both doing this with no college debt.
That's
right. Because they're in and out. Sis is in and out real quick. And Ty just went directly into the industry and then actually got headhunted to end up where he's at now.
Wow.
And both going to do amazing things. And I use them both as poster children of high school success stories, right? They
yep.
both got the base they need in high school. And most importantly, they learned how they learned. And so they could maximize whatever it was they were going to do next. And I think we're seeing that there's a general frustration with higher ed. It is still very much needed. And there's levels of that, right?
Sure.
And I don't think most people understand that there are levels. You can go directly into trade school. That's still post-secondary education.
Yep.
The apprenticeship model is post-secondary education. It's a different funding model
yep.
because someone else is paying for it, which I think is the way to do it, right? Is to have your industry pay for you to get trained and then move into that industry and earn a living wage.
And so, well, and when I had you in the studio, I've had you in a couple of times, but what with the CDLs for semi-truck
yep.
driving
yep.
and
yep. The simulator's here. People can come try it out.
Right. Yep. Yeah. I tell you, I have nothing but respect for the truck drivers. I mean, they're amazing. All right, Tim. Gonna talk about the bond measure a little bit. Did okay. that earlier with Tim English, and let's go ahead and start with what's coming up. I believe this month in West Salem, Ross IGA.
Yeah,
you got a chance to highlight that a little bit for us.
We're gonna have a breakfast to bring together folks really interested or just to learn about the movement behind the levy. Use it as a little bit of a fundraiser, but also as a way to really start disseminating the message out around the need for the levy, the cost of the levy, right? This kind of the nuts and bolts about that. So that'll be on August 20th at 7:30 in the morning there at Roth's in West Salem. The event space upstairs there, yeah. Beautiful space. We've got a sponsor that is paying for breakfast and hosting folks there so that we
cool.
can. We had one just before fair and had about 35 people show up. It was just, again, really just kind of a way to get those tribal leaders, if we think about it on that level, in our communities, to get them the information so that they can start to bring in their friends and neighbors and talk about how important this facility is, not just for this 3.5-4 days in August, but on a year round basis. And so that'll be.
So that's going to be kind of a workshop deal, or is it more you've got some speakers lined up and going to lay out some groundwork? This is what we need to do.
Yeah, that's what we did last time is each of the commissioners got a few moments to speak about their perspective and why the fairgrounds is so important and a little background around why the county just simply can't afford to fund it from the general fund anymore the way that it has for a number of years. I got a small opportunity to speak and just run through a real quick slideshow highlighting where we're at, how we got here, what the true need is, and then, you know, a call to action. How is it we can help? And we've got a number of ways folks can help. We have a booth here at the fairgrounds. You can stop by and find out. We've got frequently asked questions that we've answered. We've got a website that people can go to learn about the levy and the need and the importance of this place. Again, I think everybody, you know, understands the county fair itself. We're really talking about saving the fairgrounds for the year round use that happens here, and the important piece that it plays within our community.
All right. We talked about the rodeo, and Tim English also said how amazing that is. What in your mind can draw people to this place outside of this event, which we just talked about, hits about 15K? Concerts. I mean, what kind of visions do you would like to see?
Going forward. Yeah,
as
a fair board, it's a struggle, and I think the part that people don't understand, and I'll back up just a little bit. On a year round basis, there's about 250,000 people that access this facility year round on a yearly basis.
Okay.
So I don't know if people know math, but there's about 90,000 people that live in Polk County. And so if you do that math, more than people that live in the county are visiting this place. And so that means we're drawing money in from outside, which is always good. People come and go, but money stays, right? If somebody spends money in Dallas, Independence, Rickreall, because they came to the fairgrounds, that money stays here even when they leave. And so we are bringing in the economic impact of this place is huge and challenging to completely dial in, right? But
yeah.
And so that's important for people to understand. The other important thing for people to understand is this place, this facility is available to rent. So if somebody wanted to hold a concert, rent the fairgrounds and hold the concert. The challenge for the fairgrounds is holding a concert is then it's public money that's paying to bring the entertainment in. And that's not right. When the Moda Center hosts a concert, the city of Portland isn't paying that celebrity to come and play the concert. A promoter is.
Yeah.
And then the promoter's renting the facility and making some money on it. This is the exact, think of this as a venue that you could rent to hold a rodeo, to hold a concert, to hold a home show, to do whatever those types of things are. The fairgrounds holds just a few events. We obviously host the fair itself, the craft show, and some gun shows. The rest of the events that are here are vendors renting the space and holding the event. And so that's the piece that not everybody understands.
Tim Ray, thanks so much for coming down. Good luck with the next day and a half. God bless. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Best summer to you, Tim.
You.
Jake, Real Matters. See you soon.
The Blue Star Gas Rural Matters live from the Home Comfort broadcast booth at the Polk County Fair will continue next hour on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.